Penguin Random House Audio presents The Stars Like Dust by Isaac Asimov. Read for you by John Lindstrom. 1. The bedroom murmured. The bedroom murmured to itself gently. It was almost below the limits of hearing, an irregular little sound, yet quite unmistakable and quite deadly. But it wasn't that which awakened Byron Farrell and dragged him out of a heavy, unrefreshing slumber. He turned his head restlessly from side to side in a futile struggle against the periodic burr on the end table. He put out a clumsy hand without opening his eyes and closed contact. "Hello," he mumbled. Sound tumbled instantly out of the receiver. It was harsh and loud, but Byron lacked the ambition to reduce the volume. It said, "May I speak to Byron Farrell?" Byron said fuzzily,
"Speaking, what do you want?"
"May I speak to Byron Farrell?" The voice was urgent. Byron's eyes opened on the thick darkness. He became conscious of the dry unpleasantness of his tongue and the faint odor that remained in the room. He said, "Speaking, who is this?" It went on, disregarding him. Gathering tension, a loud voice in the night. "Is anyone there? I would like to speak to Byron Farrell." Byron raised himself on one elbow and stared at the place where the visiphone sat. He jabbed at the vision control, and the small screen was alive with light. "Here I am," he said. He recognized the smooth, slightly asymmetric features of Sander Jaunty. "Call me in the morning, Jaunty." He started to turn the instrument off once more when Jaunty said, "Hello, hello! Is anyone there? Is this University Hall, room 526? Hello!" Byron was suddenly aware that the tiny pilot light which would have indicated a live sending circuit was not on. He swore under his breath and pushed the switch. It stayed off. Then Jaunty gave up and the screen went blank and was merely a small square of featureless light. Byron turned it off. He hunched his shoulder and tried to burrow into the pillow again. He was annoyed. In the first place, no one had the right to yell at him in the middle of the night. He looked quickly at the gently luminous figures just over the headboard. 3:15. House lights wouldn't go on for nearly 4 hours. Besides, he didn't like having to wake to the complete darkness of his room. 4 years' custom had not hardened him to the Earthman's habit of building structures of reinforced concrete, squat, thick, and windowless. It was a 1,000-year-old tradition, dating from the days when the primitive nuclear bomb had not yet been countered by the force field defense. But that was past. Nuclear warfare had done its worst to Earth. Most of it was hopelessly radioactive and useless. There was nothing left to lose, and yet architecture mirrored the old fears, so that when Byron woke, it was to pure darkness. Byron rose on his elbow again. That was strange. He waited. It wasn't the fatal murmur of the bedroom he had become aware of. It was something perhaps even less noticeable and certainly infinitely less deadly. He missed the gentle movement of air that one took so for granted. That trace of continuous renewal. He tried to swallow easily and failed. The atmosphere seemed to become oppressive even as he realized the situation. The ventilating system had stopped working, and now he really had a grievance. He couldn't even use the visiphone to report the matter. He tried again to make sure. The milky square of light sprang out and threw a faint, pearly luster on the bed. It was receiving, but it wouldn't send. Well, it didn't matter. Nothing would be done about it before day, anyway. He yawned and groped for his slippers, rubbing his eyes with the heels of his palms. No ventilation, eh? That would account for the queer smell. He frowned and sniffed sharply 2 or 3 times. No use. It was familiar, but he couldn't place it. He made his way to the bathroom and reached automatically for the light switch, although he didn't really need it to draw himself a glass of water. It closed, but uselessly. He tried it several times, peevishly. Wasn't anything working? He shrugged drank in the dark, and felt better. He yawned again on his way back to the bedroom where he tried the main switch. All the lights were out. Byron sat on the bed, placed his large hands on his hard, muscled thighs, and considered. Ordinarily, a thing like this would call for a terrific discussion with the service staff. No one expected hotel service in a college dormitory, but by space there were certain minimum standards of efficiency one could demand. Not that it was of vital importance just now. Graduation was coming, and he was through. In 3 days, he'd be saying a last goodbye to the room and to the University of Earth. To Earth itself, for that matter. Still, he might report it anyway, without particular comment. He could go out and use the hall phone. They might bring in a self-powered light or even rig up a fan so he could sleep without psychosomatic choking sensations. If not, to space with them. 2 more nights. In the light of the useless visiphone, he located a pair of shorts. Over them, he slipped a one-piece jumper and decided that that would be enough for the purpose. He retained his slippers. There was no danger of waking anybody, even if he clumped down the corridors in spiked shoes, considering the thick, nearly soundproof partitions of this concrete pile, but he saw no point in changing. He strode toward the door and pulled at the lever. It descended smoothly, and he heard the click that meant the door release had been activated, except that it wasn't. And although his biceps tightened into lumps, nothing was accomplished. He stepped away. This was ridiculous. Had there been a general power failure? There couldn't have been. The clock was going. The visiphone was still receiving properly. Wait. It could have been the boys, bless their erratic souls. It was done sometimes, infantile, of course, but he'd taken part in these foolish practical jokes himself. It wouldn't have been difficult, for instance, for one of his buddies to sneak in during the day and arrange matters. But no, the ventilation and lights were working when he had gone to sleep. Very well, then, during the night. The hall was an old, outmoded structure. It wouldn't have taken an engineering genius to hocus the lighting and ventilation circuits, or to jam the door, either. And now they would wait for morning and see what would happen when good old Byron found he couldn't get out. They would probably let him out toward noon and laugh very hard. "Ha, ha," said Byron grimly under his breath. All right, if that's the way it was. But he would have to do something about it. Turn the table some way. He turned away, and his toe kicked something which skidded metallically across the floor. He could barely make out its shadow moving through the dim visiphone light. He reached under the bed, patting the floor in a wide arc. He brought it out and held it close to the light. They weren't so smart. They should have put the visiphone entirely out of commission instead of just yanking out the sending circuit. He found himself holding a small cylinder with a little hole in the blister on top. He put it close to his nose and sniffed at it. That explained the smell in the room, anyway. It was hypnite. Of course. The boys would have had to use it to keep him from waking up while they were busy with the circuits. Byron could reconstruct the proceedings step by step now. The door was jimmied open, a simple thing to do, and the only dangerous part, since he might have awakened then. The door might have been prepared during the day, for that matter, so that it would seem to close and not actually do so. He hadn't tested it. Anyway, once open, a can of hypnite would be put just inside and the door would be closed again. The anesthetic would leak out slowly, building up to the 1 in 10,000 concentration necessary to put him definitely under. Then they could enter. Masked, of course. Space! A wet handkerchief would keep out the hypnite for 15 minutes, and that would be all the time needed. It explained the ventilation system situation. That had to be eliminated to keep the hypnite from dispersing too quickly. That would have gone first, in fact. The visiphone elimination kept him from getting help. The door jamming kept him from getting out, and the absence of lights induced panic. Nice kids.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?